We're going to talk about, our title of the message is Having a Blessed Family. And the area of topic we're going to discuss is our redemption in Christ. And we're going to look at, first of all, our text. We'll find a text here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 to 8. We're going to use that as a foundation of our what we're going to talk about. And so let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 to 8. I'm reading the King James Version. And let's go ahead and read our scriptures. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which be of faith are the same as children of Abraham. And we belong in the family of God. We're children of Abraham. That means we're the children of faith. Of a faith family. We have a family here at Faith City Church. You belong to this family. You're a member of this family, this portion of the body of Christ. And the scripture says, in verse 8 of Galatians chapter 3, it says, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. You know, the word heathen, don't let that upset you, because it just means that people who don't understand know God. And he says that God would bless the heathen through faith and preach before the gospel. Everybody say gospel. Well, the gospel means good news. In other words, God preached the gospel to Abraham. And he said this, in thee or in you shall all the nations be blessed. Here's another key word, blessed. And so the purpose of our teaching tonight, we want to bring forth or shed light on, is that we should all understand our redemption in Jesus Christ, that it also includes the redemption of our families, particularly our children, that our children are blessed, our homes are blessed, or can be blessed. If you're not walking in the blessing of God and you're a child of God, you need to step into the reality of the redemption that you have in Christ Jesus. And we're going to read some more scripture tonight as we go along here. Let's say some introduction statements, and that is that Satan, you know, Satan is our enemy. The Bible says he's the devil. The devil is actually, you know, Satan is his name, but the devil is what he does. And he's someone who comes around and he's going to shoot you. He's going to keep shooting you with arrows and keep hitting you and hitting you with thoughts of destruction and trying to give you the opposite of what God wants to do in your life. So Satan is going about killing and stealing and destroying, Jesus said in John 10:10. And he's going around destroying particularly families, marriages, relationships. And no matter, even if you're in the church or if you're born again, particularly if you're born again, he's going to try to do his best to destroy you, to steal from you what God is intending to do in your life and in your family or your relationships. Any of the relationship you have with your children, he's going to try to put a wedge in between you guys, put a wedge between the husband and wife and all the family, and try to destroy the family from within by his evil. Many families today are being decimated or destroyed by all kinds of destructions, and some of them can't stop it from happening, and it's continuing from generation to generation. Many homes are being destroyed by, you know, broken homes, broken families, separation, divorce. Many homes are being destroyed because of violence, family violence, hurt and frustration and anger. Mistreatment, mistrust, addictions of all kinds, and so on. The list goes on. Financial problems. Many people have problems in just every aspect of life that you can imagine. Families have troubles in, and you know, we can have a healthy home and we can have stable homes, and because God wants us to have stable homes, and He promised us that our homes can and will be blessed if we follow Him. And so there was a call of God upon Abraham, the life of Abraham. You know, Abraham was not, you know, God called him, and out of him came out the Jewish nations, and God used the Jewish nation. God used Abraham. You know, he was the first one to come into faith with God, and God, because he had faith in God, God accredited him to be a righteous in faith. Somebody said, well, how did those people, I heard somebody the other day, how did those people that never known Jesus, they never known about the gospel that we have today, we have the privilege in all the world ever from creation of time that we have more knowledge about God, more knowledge about the blessing of God than any other nation, any other previous generations before. You know, in my ancestral heritage, you know, we never heard about Jesus. There's stories about different things, you know, about Jesus. You know, somebody said, well, how could many, many people before, you know, long, long time, you know, many years ago, they never heard about Jesus. How did they going to get saved? And there's questions like that. People have questions about, they never had a chance to hear the gospel. No one preached Jesus to them. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 5,000 years ago. What about before Jesus come? What happened to those people, people say? Well, you know, God tells us, even in creation, God has shown himself to be who he is through creation. And people need to follow their conscience. And everyone had a conscience. Even back then, everybody had a conscience. Their spirit spoke to them that there is a creation and that they should live righteous lives before God. And there's always that knowing inside every single person, even before. And now we have the prophets, we had the apostles, and we have Jesus, and we have the gospels to teach us about God and know more about God in a more personal way. And so you can study that later on. But, you know, right now we're a generation that's been so blessed to hear the gospel. And we have a Bible school here. We call it Faith Life Bible College, and you can get a certificate and a diploma, and now we're going to get a Bachelor of Arts degree in theology and Christian education. And so we want to teach people about God. We want to leave a print here that Faith City Church was here 100 years, 200 years from now, that Faith City Church was here preaching the gospel if Jesus doesn't wait any longer. And so we want everybody to learn about the blessing of God. In Abraham's life, the life of Abraham, God come to Abraham and he spoke to him. And there's no mention about anything about the law there in Abraham's life. There was no such thing as the Ten Commandments or, you know, as far as obeying the Ten Commandments. There's no ordinances, there's no statutes, there's no laws, there's no regulations, but simply faith in Christ Jesus. This is a new era. And there's only one law in under the New Testament. It's called the law of love. And that's the only law that covers all the Ten Commandments. And we do that by faith. We love people and we do things by faith. We give by faith. You know, Blake was talking about giving. And he said, I gave my last $20 or $100 when I didn't have anything left. I gave in faith. That's how we teach our kids here. That's how we teach our young people, is to give. I thank God for a young man like Blake. He's a young man. And when I was in my early 20s, I got born again. I started learning to give. I started giving $20, $10, $100. I haven't stopped giving. People give to me today because I've sowed seed many, many years. I gave money until it hurt. And they say, you know, Mother Teresa says, you haven't give until it hurts you. Well, I don't necessarily always agree with that, but sometimes it does hurt you. Sometimes you do without, and I've done without. I've given my last 100, and I've done without for a while, for maybe a week or two. But I've sown seed. I've done it in faith. I've never looked back. And when you start to break the back of poverty and stinginess in your life, you're going to find out there's a whole new life there. And you know, if you can trust God by giving money, you can trust God in any other life, any other area of your life. And so it's something that to learn. So Abraham, his life spoke of faith in Christ Jesus. And the emphasis of the book of Galatians, as we were reading here, the emphasis there is about the good news. God told Abraham about the good news, and he preached to Abraham. God himself, Jesus himself, preached to Abraham the good news that in his life, his life would be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And that included not only the saving of the soul, quote-unquote soul, but the saving of our spirit, soul, and body, that the blessing includes all of our, the whole totality of humanity, of a person. Abraham received revelation himself from God about the plan of redemption and salvation in totality. So he got it personally from the Lord. God gave him the good news that his life would be a blessing if he would follow by faith. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 8, the Bible says that God called Abraham and he didn't know where he actually was going. You know, you don't always know the details. And if God calls you by faith and tells you to do stuff, you don't always know everything all at once. You just have an inkling in your spirit. Under the new law, we don't operate under the laws of the necessarily, you know, following the commandments fully 100%. We follow the law of the Spirit, and that is your spirit by the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you and talks to you and does all those kind of things, you know, so in your spirit. So we thank God for the Holy Spirit that's in all of our lives. So praise God. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for the total redemption in Christ. We pray that revelation knowledge shall flow. And we thank you for everyone that's giving into the ministry today. We pray a multiple blessing. You said, given it shall be given unto you. You said, give, and you shall multiply the seeds that sown, increase their harvests. We give you praise that every need is met in our ministry here at Faith City Church, in our ministry of our television ministry of Spirit Alive that's going across Canada, around the world. We give you praise for all the Bible school and all the ministry that goes on with the children and youth and so on. We give you praise for this building and all this that you've given us here in this land and this building. Thank you that our building's paid off and everything else all paid for. We give you praise in advance by faith. We give you praise that we shall build other things and show that God is blessing us and God is a wonderful God, that God is a total love and he'd give us everything he said in his word. Not one of his words shall fail in our lives. And we thank you and take it by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's go to our scripture again, or at least let's go back. The Bible says that all the families of the earth will be blessed. And God promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 that all families of the earth will be blessed, not cursed. If you would just believe, and we would be blessed. The gospel is connected to the blessing of God. The gospel means good news, and the blessing means the ability to prosper. When we hear the word gospel, we immediately should think of the blessing of God, the ability to prosper, the ability to succeed, and to have plenty, and to have freedom from all the fears that affect other people. And so it's the ability or power to prosper. That's what the blessing means. And this is what Abraham heard God say to him in verse 8 of Galatians chapter 3. Let's go ahead and read chapter 3, verse 8. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. All the nations be blessed. If we have faith like Abraham, we're blessed along with him, the scripture says. Now let's go ahead and read some more. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, or Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing, and I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And thee shall all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis chapter 3 and verse, chapter 12 and verse 3 says that, in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God pronounced the blessing upon families. And there's a blessing on your family tonight. If you're a child of God, born again, the blessing of God is upon the home. He's on the mom and dad and on the children and all the things they have and all the things they do. The blessing of God is there. And so we need to partake in the blessing of God. Salvation not only means just going to heaven when we die, if we believe Jesus, it's more than that. Salvation is more than a saving of the soul, so to speak. It means that if you're broke, financially strapped, it means that you can have financial blessing and money in your pocket and in your bank. It means that if you're sick, you can be healed, that healing belongs to you. That's what salvation means. The word itself, salvation, includes that in it. If you look in the original language, it talks about salvation to all men. It means, if you look at different scriptures, you see that it means, deliverance, preservation, safety, prosperity, and all those words that are mentioned in there. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 9 says, King James Version, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." If you are a person of faith, a person that believes God, if you're a person of faith, if you can say that, they call us the faith people. People like to put us down sometimes. They call us that faith bunch. Thank God that we are the faith bunch, because we're blessed with faithful Abraham. We got our needs met. And somebody said, I'm not going to give you any money. Well, that's fine. God's going to still bless us anyway if you don't give. And we've done it. And we've prospered. And we've had our needs met. And we were a blessing to other churches. We've given other churches money and blessed them and blessed individuals in the different ministries. And we're a blessed bunch, and our homes are blessed. And, to the degree that we follow God, that's how we're blessed. Sometimes we miss out on blessings because we don't follow God. I've missed blessings on the things of God because I didn't follow God. I should have given when I should have given. And I should have listened and obeyed God when he spoke to me about different things. And sometimes I miss God. I don't know if you miss God, if you never miss God, and you say, "I never miss God," that's where you miss it. In the first place, because you say you never miss God, because I know you miss God. We'll talk about that later, okay? Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says this, "For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that continued not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.'" Well, that's not us. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. In other words, no one can live perfect in living under the law. There's no perfect person, but there's only one person that did it, and that's Jesus. And he died on the cross for us, not because he did something wrong, but he did it for us. "For it is evident," for it is evident, "the just shall live by faith." And so those of us that have been justified by faith in Christ, just the way we receive Jesus is by faith, and that's the rest of our lives, we live by faith, believing for our families, believing for healing, believing for the Holy Ghost, believing to be led, believing for prosperity, believing for success, believing our children are going to carry on and be successful. This is how we go, praise God. Now over here in verse 12, it says, "And the law is not of faith, but that the man that doeth them shall live in them." Galatians chapter 3, verse 12. We are redeemed. We're not going to be redeemed. We are redeemed right now. The Bible says that so many scriptures. I like Colossians, for instance, in chapter 12. He says, in there that this is how we should give God praise and thanks for. And verse 13 says that we have been redeemed from the power of darkness. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. Now we're going to try to be, and we're hoping to be, but right now in this hour, in this day, because you believe in Jesus, because you belong to Christ, you are redeemed. You're not trying to get redeemed. You're not trying to get delivered. You're already delivered. As far as God's concerned, you are free in the name of Jesus. And everything else you have to receive is by faith. Hallelujah. So millions of people, they don't believe in the curse of the law. They don't believe in the blessings of God. And so that doesn't change the word of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, the King James Version says, Christ hath redeemed. He's already done this. He's already redeemed. What does redeem mean? The word redeem, it means to buy back with a price. In other words, Jesus bought you back with a price. And that's the price of his blood, the price of his life. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us. From what? From the curse of the law. And the curse of the law is found over there in Deuteronomy chapter 28. We see the curse of the law from verse 16 right on down to the end of the chapter almost there. And the Bible talks about curses in there. It gives us individualized indications of what the curse is. And we're going to look at some of those verses of Scripture when it comes to families. And so the Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So any curse that's connected to families, anything that would say that your family is cursed, that we are redeemed from it. We've been bought out of it. We've been bought out of, being cursed. And so right now, we're blessed people. The blessing of God is upon our homes and our families and our children. And even though you might not be walking in it, maybe it's not a reality in a practicality, in a practical way in your life, and something's not right in your life, but let's claim it, praise God. Let's continue to stand. Let's take back what the devil has stolen, and let's begin to believe God, and let's push him out of the way. He has no authority in your life. He has no authority in your home. He has no authority in your family, in your wife, and your children. And praise God, we can take authority over him. So it says that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, Christ being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. In other words, that Jesus took the curse, that the Bible says that he became sick for us. The Bible says he became poor for us. He took our pains. He took our sickness, our diseases. He took sin. He took our separation from God. And he went to the cross and he died. And the third day he rose again victoriously from the grave. And he defeated the devil. And he's already sitting at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says now he awarded us whatever victories he won over the devil. He's awarded that to us. And that's another story that you could talk about later. So Jesus took the curse on himself. Psalm 107 verse 2, it says that we need to say this to ourselves, that we're not cursed, but we're blessed people. We need to say this. We need to make sure that we say this. We need to make sure that we confess this daily. Always, we need to make sure to say it to ourselves, and maybe to tell our wives, our children, that we're blessed. That when a cursed situation arises or tries to rise its ugly head up in some way and form, or poverty or weakness or failure, we say, no, failure is a curse. Success is a blessing. I am of the blessing of God. I have the blessing of God. Say this to yourself. It has no power over you. Failure has no power over you. Sickness has no power over you. Poverty has no power. Even if you have no money in your pocket, you say, thank God I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. You got no money in your bank. Say, thank God I'm blessed. Come on now. Hallelujah. Start believing it. Start acting like it. The Bible says to say it. Praise the Lord. Failure is a curse. Never say, I'm a failure. Never say, I'm defeated. Never say that, because you're not defeated. It might look like it. It might seem like it. Everything might seem like it is. There's no way out, but God has a way out, praise God. No matter how far somebody's gone down the road, no matter how destroyed it seems, God has a way, praise God. He has a way to make things right in your life. Thank God. Never accept failure. Never accept defeat. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 107, verse 2. I'm getting a little excited here. So, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise God. That's shouting on right there. Praise the Lord. You need to say, I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The enemy tried to get me. He tried to steal from me. He tried to kill me. He tried to destroy me. Hallelujah. I'm telling everybody the devil couldn't do it. I'm telling everybody Jesus redeemed me. I'm telling everybody I'm saved. I'm delivered. I'm free. I used to be under poverty. I'm no longer under poverty. I'm blessed. I'm rich. Praise God. Amen. I don't ever say you're defeated. Don't say you're going to quit. You're not a quitter. You're a winner. Jesus made you a winner. Praise the Lord. Amen. So thank God for that. Hallelujah. Hang in there. Be persuaded that, have this persuasion in your life that you are redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let's go ahead and read that again. Psalm 107, verse 2, the King James. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise God. I think you should add that on your status tonight when you go to bed. Say this to yourself. You know, I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise God. Come on, Pastor Ken. Say, I'm redeemed from the hand of the devil. Praise God. From the hand of the enemy, from the Boston Bruins. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Settle down now, somebody says. Okay, Galatians chapter 3. He said, he took my place and he went to the cross. And the cross means an curse. It means that all that is awful. It's a criminal's, the only criminals go on the cross. And Jesus became a criminal for us, identified with the curse. The Bible says that, you know, unless the Son of Man be lifted up, he had to go on the cross, praise God. The Bible says, and I believe it's over there in the 21st chapter, Numbers, verse 7 or 8, around there, or 13. It says in there that Jesus was, they were told to put a, Moses was told to put a, make a staff and put a, a serpent on it, a pole, or I guess it's a staff. And, I noticed that the medical people, they put that on there. There's a staff there, and they put a, a serpent on there. And that means healing, praise God. And the serpent there means, the devil and sickness and disease. That's what it represents. And the staff meant the cross. And so the Bible says in Numbers 21 that God told Abraham, anybody who is affected by this getting bitten by snakes, they wouldn't die if they looked at the cross. And they would be healed, praise God. We look at Jesus. And that's what Jesus said about himself in the Gospel of John, I believe the third chapter there. He said, when I'm lifted up, all man will receive redemption. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, so what did he do? He redeemed us, the Bible says. He paid the price for us from death and sickness, disease, spiritual death, poverty. Hebrews chapter 12 said that Jesus saw himself paying the price for our redemption, the Bible says. Look at over here, Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the Bible says, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame that is set down at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says that Jesus saw us redeemed. He saw that what he was going to do, he was going to redeem this. He was going to redeem our lives and buy us back. Give us back what the devil stole in our lives so that we could be blessed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Praise God. Curse has no right, no place in our lives. Even though, we don't deserve the blessing, Jesus got it for us. He did it for us. In Galatians 21, it gives us details. It gives us 14 blessings for us, and 14 verses. But in 54 verses, it gives us the curses. There's he explains in there about the curses, and so it's complicated. Let's go read here Deuteronomy 28 verse 15. It shall come to pass that if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God and observe to do all His commandments and His statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. It says in verse 28. So the Bible says, in the old system, if we're without Jesus, these curses could come upon people. And we're not cursed people. I remember one time when I was working in the field, and some guy told me, I'm working on this medicine and so forth. And he says to me, I was working for Children's Aid. He was mad at me because I was working for the province of Ontario with the Children's Aid Society, and I was just a young man working for them and under legal obligation to remove children if they had been sexually molested and abused, and I was working in that field. And so I was working there, the children were abused, and I was taking the kids out, and this guy says to me, I'm going to curse you. And, I didn't know anything about what I know today, but I said, you go right ahead, try to curse me if you want to. And I'm not afraid of that. I'm blessed, praise God. I didn't know about anything about that back then that much, but I heard a little bit of it, so I said it by faith, praise God, by the Holy Ghost. And then I went home and I said, what did I do? Maybe there's something going on with this thing. And then I said that to a friend of mine who is actually not a faith kind of person. He was a Christian, all right? But I said, oh, no, I wouldn't say that. But I was right, praise God. I'm blessed, praise the Lord. Amen? So the blessing of God, not the curses, the blessing of God includes our families. And so the blessing of God includes enjoying a healthy home, healthy families. God wants our homes to be totally blessed. He wants us to have blessed children, safe children, obedient children. God wants us to enjoy all the good things in life that is available to us because of the gospel. He wants us to reward us with good things that He's promised us through the life and the gospel that He preached to Abraham, the father of our faith. In Deuteronomy 28:18, it says, "Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body." So, under the curse, and we're not cursed. The Bible says, Galatians 3:13, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. It says in here, Deuteronomy 28, that the curse shall be the fruit of thy body. What's it talking about? It's talking about our children. The production, the reproduction of our bodies. We have fruit of our bodies, and that's our children. It says in here that our children could be cursed if it wasn't for Jesus. But we're not cursed, we're blessed. Because we're told, we see that. He says, in the fruit of the land, increase of that kind, flocks of that sheep. If you got any sheep around your house, they're blessed, praise God. I don't have any sheep in my house. I got French bulldogs in my house. They're blessed, praise God. They get lots of food and lots of loving, and they live even sit on my couch, on my lap, and, you know, they're blessed. They want to go for a drive. They take a drive in the car. They take a walk, and they eat real good, praise God. And so the fruit of our bodies refers to our children. The curses can extend to children, can extend to our homes, but it doesn't have to. What good is it to have homes and stuff around us if we can't enjoy it? If you have a property and if you're sick, you can't enjoy that property. If you have money, and if you're sick and you're mentally disturbed and you're full of anxiety and you're afraid the next thing that's coming around the world here is going to hit you, and you're afraid all night, you have bad dreams, and you wake up, you can't sleep at night, what good is it if you have stuff that you can't enjoy? We need to understand that we're blessed of God. And then verse 29, it said, "And thou shalt grope at noonday as a blind gropeth at darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy way." You know, God wants us to prosper. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to succeed in everything we do. I found out in Scripture many, many years ago that God wants me to succeed because I was looking for success. I wanted to be successful in school, and I didn't know how. I didn't have the ability that some other kids had. They were better trained than me from grade kindergarten and all the way through school. Didn't have a great home. I didn't have anybody to help me in school. My parents never read anything to me. I didn't have any chance to prosper. So by the time I was a teenager, I didn't know how to read and write. And so, but God helped me. I found scriptures that God could help me, and God could help me be successful in everything I do. And so I learned from the scriptures in Deuteronomy. I learned from the Psalms that God wants me to be successful in everything I endeavor to do. And I found scriptures of favor. And then I believed those things, and God helped me. So God wants us to be financially prosperous, blessing in our homes. We want our money for our homes. We want to have enough to live on and enjoy the blessings of God. God doesn't want us to run short and have empty wallets and nothing in the bank, not having enough money to pay off our expenses every month. That's not a blessing, to not have enough money to pay your housing or your property or your whatever you got. God wants you to have more than enough to pay your property. So it says in here, in verse 30, "Thou shalt betroth the wife, and another man shall lie with her." Well, that's not a blessing to have a wife and somebody takes your wife away, or your girlfriend or your engaged wife-to-be. That's not a blessing. But it can happen. The Bible says it can happen to someone if they're not walking in the blessing of God. "Thou shalt build a house, and another shall dwell in there." You know, I've seen somebody over here, they bought a house that somebody couldn't live in. And that's not a blessing. And, you know, we want to build a house. We want to live in it, praise God. We don't want to run out of money halfway through. We want to be healthy enough to live in it and maybe die, not in sickness and disease, but just fall asleep and just go on and be with the Lord, not just be sick in a hospital for several years. You know, you can't open your eyes, you can't walk, you can't go to the bathroom. And no, we wanna be strong about right till the day we die and close your eyes, say, here's Jesus, I'm going to see a family in heaven, praise the Lord. Amen. So he says in there, and thou shalt not dwell in there. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not get into grape service. You know, I want to have a garden, I want to eat my garden, praise God. Failed relationships, marriages, and homes is a curse. Adultery is a curse. When somebody has adultery in their family and somebody leaves their marriage vow and has relations with somebody else, that's not a blessing. It's a curse. Cheating partners, it's a curse. If you can't trust your wife or a husband, that's a curse of the law. If you can't trust somebody, hallelujah. I'm glad I can trust my wife. Hallelujah. Glad she can trust me. If it was years ago, she wouldn't have been able to trust me because I didn't know Jesus. I would do anything to take advantage of people. But today, praise God, I'm taking advantage of blessing people, praise the Lord. Not being able to trust your own partner is a curse. Broken relationships, broken marriages, violations of trust is not a curse, not a blessing, but a curse. Children be taken away. Over here, Deuteronomy 28, verse 32 says, thy sons and your daughters shall be given to another people. In other words, your children taken out from your home, or you lose your children because of failed relationship and marriages, broken homes, your children are sent out, you know. In my home, all of our children, all of my family members were sent out to different places. We didn't have a strong home. And, you know, we can blame different things. And I look at it in different ways. I look at it from spiritual. You know, we talk about colonization and all that, but it's a curse. I don't want to live in a curse. So the Bible says, your sons and daughters shall be given to another people. Your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand. Deuteronomy 28, verse 32. Losing your kids is a curse. Your kids being apprehended is a curse of the law. Your children will be taken by another people is a curse. Another nation or group of people or anything else is a curse. You'll be unable to do anything else to stop the process from happening around in your backyard, in your home. You'll long and miss them all, and night and day you'll miss your family. You know, what good is it to have children and have them taken away and you can't see them, can't see your grandkids, you can't see anybody? These things are happening. Over here, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 41, and thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Now that's talking about a lot of things in there. There's people that are having sons and daughters, and they're being captivated by, different addictions, all kinds of drugs, alcohol, different sexual addictions. Some of them go into pornography. Some addicted by different things. Some families, I know some Christian people, even ministers, they're taken by sexual addictions, and they kind of live like they're free for many years, and on the side they were addicted, and they lost families. And they lost homes, and they lost different ministries because of this addiction. And some people, they have so many things, their kids are captive to something. And so we want to believe God for our children that they're being enticed and pulled out there in the world. God intended that we should enjoy our children. There's some families that want to kick their children out because they can't enjoy them. They're on drugs. They lie and cheat, and you can't just turn your back, and they'll steal anything you got in your home. I see that every day. The Bible says, Psalm 127, verse 3, that lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is their reward. Your children stealing from you is not a reward. Your children beating you up is not a reward. There's some families, they're afraid of their kids. They're afraid of their kids are violent, and they don't want them to come in their home. And this is a curse of the law, the Bible says. Children are a gift from the Lord. Psalm 127, verse 3, the English translation says, children are a gift from the Lord. You know, I always joke about this, but it's true that children don't always feel like a gift. They feel more like a curse sometimes. That's what they feel. And people say that. They're not a reward. They don't feel like a reward, you know. And they give you trouble, financial trouble, and all kinds of trouble. They make you sick. And I talk to families that they say, my kids are making me sick. I'm worried sick about my family. They're stealing everything. They're breaking everything. They're stealing things from my home. That's not a reward. Addictions of all kinds is not a reward. Sickness and disease and pain. Insecurity is not enjoyable. It's not a reward. Premature death of your children is not a reward. I don't know how many times this last year I've gone to funerals of families, young people in their 30s, mostly 30s and 40s, dying because of drug addiction, because of alcohol, because of drug addiction, because some of them died prematurely because their bodies couldn't handle drugs anymore. Their bodies shut down. Their liver shut down. They died because of liver trouble. They died because their kidneys stopped working. They died because they had infections. They died because they got weak. They died because their will to live wasn't there anymore. And we find kids that are going out there with identity problems. They don't know who they are anymore. And their life is destroyed because of it. That's not a blessing. We want to see our children be blessed. Poverty is a curse. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 33, 34, the fruit of the land and all thy labors shall a nation thou shalt that knowest it eat up. Thou shalt not be up. Thou shalt only be pressed and crushed always. Thou shalt be mad at the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. Verse 48, therefore thou shalt not serve thine enemies, or thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord thy God send thee against thee. And in hunger and in thirst, and in nakedness, and the want of all things, he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until thou be destroyed. That's not being blessed. Poverty is a curse. God gives us the ability to get wealth. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is today, the King James says. The blessing, is the power to enjoy the good things in life. The blessing of God is the ability to prosper, the ability to be blessed. The blessing of God is the ability to enjoy life to the full. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13 says this, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is a gift from God. I'm reading the Amplified Version. It says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift from God. God wants us to enjoy, to work for our living, and not only just work, but enjoy our work and enjoy the labors, the fruit of our labors. God not only gives you the power to give you the power to enjoy life, but he's given you the power to enjoy many, many things. And so to enjoy your houses, enjoy your homes, and stop depending on other people for sustenance, but having, you know, enjoying the work of your own hands and living at happy homes, happy wives, happy husbands, and not depend on each other to make yourself happy. There's nobody can make you happy. You marry somebody, they're not going to make you happy. If you're going to marry somebody just to make you happy, you're in far big reality that's going to happen to you in your life. Thank God. You should be happy first, and then you can enjoy your husband. Enjoy your wife. And don't depend on them for your every need to make you happy. That's really good preaching, Pastor Roma, about the marriages, praise God. So we can really enjoy, we can enjoy things in life without the presence of God. The Bible says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So when you're happy, you can enjoy your husband. When you're happy, you can enjoy your wife. When you're happy, you can enjoy your home. When you're happy already with the presence of God, with God's presence on you, you can enjoy everything, praise God, amen. So the blessing of the Lord, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the Amplified Classical Edition says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes you truly rich, and it adds no sorrow to it, neither does toiling increasing it. God is the only one. God is the only one who can make you rich. At the same time, enjoy the riches of God in your life. You might be rich, but do you really absolutely enjoy everything? You know that you got everything from God. Everything comes from God, and nobody can steal it from you. God blesses you and keeps you happy, and God will give you children and bless you with children, and you can keep the children. The Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6, a father of the fatherless, that God is, is the judge of the widows, and God is the holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound in chains, with the rebellious will dwell in a dry land. Let me just go ahead and read this from the Amplified Version, verse 6. A father of the fatherless. You know, if you never had a dad, you have a dad. It's called God. He's God the Father. He's your dad. And a judge of and protector of widows. God will protect widows. And God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads the prisoners into prosperity. Only the stubborn and the rebellious dwell in a parched land. You know, if you're stubborn and you just don't want to follow God and you're just doing your own thing as you think it is, you are going to live in a parched land. It's hard to live in a dry land. Nothing grows, no production, there's no greenery, there's no water, there's no refreshing. It's nothing but dryness. But God wants us to have a luscious, wonderful garden. Praise God, amen, and of our lives. The blessing of the Lord gives us. He gives us the power to enjoy whatever he gives us, and a blessing to enjoy everything we have with one another. Let's go over here to Psalm 127, verses 1 to 5. It says, except the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wake it in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat bread of sorrows, so he giveth his beloved sleep. So tonight, you can claim a good rest tonight. He says that he gives his beloved restful sleep. Praise God. We can claim that tonight, wherever you are. There's no sleeplessness in Seattle for me. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, lo. I don't know if your name is Lo. He's God talking to you right now. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. We read that scripture before. So God wants to give you children. He wants you to enjoy children. It's a reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that had a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with enemies at the gate. God wants to build your home today with security, with peace, with happy children, a happy husband, happy wives, a thriving home filled with God's blessings and God's plan. This verse, this chapter 1 to 27, is a picture of a happy home. God wants us to have happy homes. Let's go to here and let's go ahead and read Psalm 65, verse 21 to 23. They shall build houses, it's talking about us, and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and shall eat the fruit of them. Pastor Steve, he's going to build a house, he said, in the country, and he's going to live in it. He's also going to build a vineyard. Praise God. I'm going to come and eat some of his grapes. They shall not build, he says, and another inhabit, verse 22. It says in here, somebody can eat your plants as the days of a tree are days of my people. That means you can live long, praise God. Amen? You can live long. I was discussing with my children. Well, you know, I'm past my 60s now. I said, well, how long do you think I'm going to live? Praise God. You know, I'm getting up there, and I'm planning to live on a long time, but I don't want to, you know, be half blind and, you know, hardly walking around, bent out of shape. And, you know, I want to be strong, just like Caleb. The Bible says, Caleb says, I'm 85 years old. I'm just as strong as I was when I was 45 years old when God sent me up that mountain. I'm just as strong. I claim that scripture. I'll be just as strong. I'll just be doing push-ups with one hand at 90. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, and mine elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor build for trouble. They are the seed of the blessed and the Lord and their offering with them. So thank God that we can enjoy our children. We can enjoy families. We can build our homes and enjoy our families. Praise God. And so I've got other scriptures and other word to tell you about how to claim your families and how to claim your loved ones that has been out there and been under the power of addictions, been under the power of a rebellion. And we can believe God for every one of them. Praise the Lord. And I want to stand with you. We can maybe get on this on Sunday, perhaps, and talk about a blessed home. Praise God. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all the people that are watching online right now. In the name of Jesus, I will say of the Lord, you are blessed. The blessing of the Lord is rich upon you, and he'll continue to make you rich if you shall obey his word, if you shall obey his law of love and the law of faith. All will go well with you if you begin to open your heart up to God, open up wide, and God will lead you and God will guide you, and you will be a great blessing, praise God. And you shall claim your children. Your children shall be blessed. Your home shall be blessed. Hallelujah. Say this to yourself as I read that psalm, you know, the Lord blesses my home. And, you know, I'm going to be blessed in all the things that I have. Praise God. Enjoy the family tonight. And you'll have a great sleep tonight. I pray every one of you in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. If you've not received Jesus as your Lord, there's a time right now. He said, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life. Save me. I'm a sinner. How can I save myself? Whoever you are, if you're not saved, you invite him in your life right now, and he'll save you. Come into my life. Forgive me. Take hold of me. In Jesus' name, I receive you, Lord, by faith. In Jesus' name. If you're a child of God, you've been away, you've been a prodigal, just say, Lord, I'm coming back home. Forgive me. And I'm going to make my home. I'm going to come home. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to Faith City Church. I'm going to phone Pastor Roma. And I'm going to ask him to help me. I'll give you a Bible. And I'll say, pray for yourself, praise God, amen. Now we'll pray for you, and we'll believe God with you. And you're going to win everything back that the devil stole in your life. This is what God promises. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. See you next time. Hallelujah, amen.